This is Crosswalk Talk with Carlotta Waldman. Carlotta is the founder of Crosswalk Life Ministries, an ordained minister of counseling, registered nurse, and Bible college educator. I'm Dan Baker, and welcome to this edition of our broadcast. Crosswalk Talk is a weekly Christian talk show all about knowing and experiencing God in our lives. We call it Crosswalk Talk because Jesus died on the cross and made it possible for us to walk the walk. And we all know that our walk talks much louder than our talk talks. This is your show, your opportunity to share true stories of healing, miracles, provision, and God intervening in the lives of people today. And now, here's Carlotta.
Thank you, Dan. Thank you. And thank you, everyone, for joining us tonight. Tonight, I'm going to step out there and talk about, share about, ask you about one of the subjects in the Bible that probably has more questions attached to it, more issues than anything else. I'm not saying it's the most important, but more people have had questions about the gift of speaking in tongues than any other, probably. And I'm not much into doctrinal debate or anything, so I'm just offering information. And I'm going to share a lot of verses, all of the verses that I know of that relate to the subject. So if you get out pen and paper and write this down, you'll have it when someone asks you these questions. You know, have you ever wondered why some people are so passionate about the gift of speaking in tongues while others totally oppose it? Why is there division in the church over it? Why did Apostle Paul say he spoke in tongues more than them all? So does the Bible say good things about tongues? Does it say that they have ceased or that they still exist in the church? What are the benefits? Mysteries. What does that mean? It says it benefits the speaker, the congregation, the lost, and they bring healing, in some cases, to our spirit, soul, and body. It can enhance your prayer power, charge up your most holy faith, build up the body of Christ, enable us to witness with more power, give messages from God to others in their language, and to pray more effectively without natural knowledge, even to know how to glorify God, to praise God, and to... Well, the main one for me is unlocking mysteries. I like, you know, God to pray through me or to minister through me way beyond my natural knowledge. Amen? So let's pray. I hope that you will invite a friend to listen because there's a good chance that their questions are going to be addressed tonight. We may not all agree, and that's okay. We want unity in the body more than we want absolute agreement, amen? But I'm going to be quoting and referring to some verses that should help you. And even in doing this study, my eyes were opened as well. So let's pray. Father, we thank you that you have anticipated our needs. You know the end from the beginning. And you know that we would need help in prayer, that we don't always know what to pray. We need help to even know how to praise your name. We feel so inadequate to even do that. And we need help to know how to minister to other people. Even in when we're sharing Christ with the lost, we appreciate the ability to be able to pray in tongues and to unlock mysteries, to know things that we wouldn't have known before. Or for those of us, so many of us now that walk in the gift of prophecy, that when we pray in tongues ahead of time, that all that becomes easier too. We just praise your name, Jesus, for making a way for us to live in the supernatural, that our tongue can live in the supernatural. And we just come together tonight in prayers of agreement to cancel every assignment of the enemy to cause anyone to be confused or a religious spirit to object to something that's actually God's truth. We come against every plan of the enemy to counter your word with error. And we say that every assignment against us, our pets, possession, property, everything and everybody we care about, every assignment against this program, our ministries, our churches, our families, our everything, It's all canceled now in the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, the Son of God Most High. And we thank you, Lord. We thank you that you created us to live in the fifth dimension with supernatural power. And you, Jesus Christ, are inside us with unlimited power and authority. I thank you that you know everything. You can be everywhere at once, and you're all-powerful. And so in that sense, there's no limit. And we just thank you, God, for greater understanding, for insight and revelation, that the opening, for opening our eyes and our ears tonight with more wisdom, more understanding about your word. And we thank you that you will show us from your word what the truth is, and those that are willing to walk in the truth will know it. Amen? Amen. Well, there's a lot of things I could mention tonight, so I'm just going to mention a lot of them, and you may have to look up some things later. I don't have entire verses written out, but I want to make you aware of the fact that the Bible is already pretty clear. I mean, you know, that's God's way. It's already clear. And God knew that we would need help in praying and praising him and in ministering to others, and he's made a way ahead of time. But I want to also address a lot of the objections and to show you how the Bible has already given us the answer. Amen? And I have done a word study, Strong's Exhaustive Concordance. If you don't have one and you want to be a serious student of the Bible, you'll need to get one or use the ones online. And it numbers each and every word in the Bible, even the, T-H-E. But the number for tongues is 1100. And in the Strong's Concordance, it will have a G in front of it because the New Testament is associated with the Greek, you know, in the Old Testament with the Hebrew. And so we're going to be talking about the word tongues, G-1100 tonight. And it's mentioned several times that are not about speaking in tongues, you know, a literal tongue, like he touched his tongue with spit and healed him in Mark 7:33, or in Mark 7:35, the string of his tongue was loosened and he spake plainly. And that is your literal tongue. The interesting thing about this is that the definition of the word tongue is already versatile, and it already includes what our interests are tonight. It occurs 50 times in 47 verses in the Greek concordance, and it's a noun, but it can mean the tongue as a member of your body, you know, in your mouth, the organ of speech, or it can mean the language or dialect used by a particular people distinct from that of other nations. And in the case of speaking in tongues, sometimes it means a known language, and it can be rendered as strange tongues or diverse tongues or tongues of a different sort as well. That would be in the Greek number 2084. Now, I'm not going to stay this detailed. I'm just giving you the introduction. Also, that there's room in that when it talks about tongues of angels, that tongues aren't necessarily restricted to tongues that are known on this earth. But we're going to get there. I just wanted to give you a little sneak preview. That there's a wide possibility when you get down to the definition of tongues. Now, I want to say right up front that I do not know Greek and Hebrew. I know a little bit about using the concordance and the lexicon so that I can get these definitions. And if any of you know something about this that I don't know and don't share tonight, please prepare to call in and share it with us. Again, we may or may not all agree, but it'll be food for thought. And we'll trust the Holy Spirit to lead us and direct us. Amen. Then Mark 16:17 is the first place that I know of that the concordance mentioned that tongues is mentioned that would be about speaking with tongues. So that's Mark 16:17 when it says, you know, they'll cast out devils, they'll speak with new tongues. They shall speak with new tongues. So for those that say that you know, that tongues cannot exist, or that it's not good, it doesn't glorify God, or it's of the devil. You know, Jesus is saying that we will be able to heal the sick, cast out devils, speak with new tongues, and shall is in the future tense. And we'll see in the Bible where tongues were definitely, the gift of tongues is definitely operating after Pentecost. So I want to get that out of the way right away. Some people would say that there aren't any gifts of tongues after Pentecost, and that is probably the most ridiculous objection that there is, because all these references that I'm going to share with you, almost all of them were written way after Pentecost. They were the guidelines for how tongues and other spiritual gifts would operate in the church. So if somebody says that they believe tongues didn't operate after Pentecost, they haven't thought any of this through. So just be patient with them and love them, because they just need to hear these scriptures. And then Luke 1:64 talks about when the priest, his tongue was loosened and he spoke and was praising God, and he hadn't been able to speak the whole time, but Elizabeth was expecting John. And I believe that our tongue was created to praise God, but God can also silence our tongue that we see here. It's very important that we keep in mind through this teaching tonight that we always yield our tongues to God, and that we always agree with God. For I learned when he questioned the angel that maybe he questioned him too much. You know, I don't think God minds if we ask questions, but he wound up silent the remainder of Elizabeth's pregnancy. Excuse me. And then Luke 16:24, and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this. Again, that's the natural tongue. So now we're going to get on to the areas where you probably have had questions or have them. And that would be in Acts. If you turn to the book of Acts, this first chapter of Acts is the one that we usually turn to begin a discussion about waiting for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Now, I want to remind you that at the end of the book of St. John, Jesus has already prayed for that they would receive the Holy Spirit. I'm not going to get into any debate, like I said, about whether they received at that moment or whether they were, you know, knowing that they were commanded to wait. And they waited in unity, which to me is the biggest miracle. Then, you know, we see that in Acts 2:3, we see the results. In Acts 1:8, they're commanded to wait until the Holy Spirit endues them with power from on high. Now, I want to make a comment here, and for clarity, is that many times when you hear an invitation in a church to come up for prayer to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, that there are two things that are said that are not exactly right from my point of view, okay? All of this is my point of view. I'm going to be sharing the verse or part of the verse, and then I'll share what people say or my point of view. And my point of view is that the invitation to wait on the Holy Spirit to be endued with power on high did not mention tongues. It was to be endued with power on high to be a witness. And that is what needs to be restored today, that people would want to be endued with power from on high, not so that they can have all these spiritual gifts, although they're good and they're important and they're necessary, but that our motivation would be to be a witness of Jesus Christ, who he is, why he came, why he died, why we need him. Okay, so that's Acts 1:8. Then, now we get back to our word study in Acts 2:3. There appeared unto them cloven tongues like fire, you know, over their head, and they were following Christ's commandment to wait for the Holy Spirit to endue them with power, and this is what happened. I'm just differentiating between their motivation was to be empowered to be a witness, But one of the things that would help them do that was to be able to speak in tongues. I think it's very important to keep that connected in our mind, that speaking in tongues helps us, empowers us to be a witness and to minister to others, and not only that, but it helps us, ourselves. And so there appeared unto them these cloven tongues. It was visible as well. And the Holy Spirit's enduing them with power. And in this particular chapter in Acts 2, it specifies that the tongues were other known languages. Now, before somebody takes that and runs with it, I also want to say that almost all of the other passages in the Bible that are about speaking in tongues, it does not specify whether it's a known language or not. And you can't prove something just because it doesn't specify. You know, it's not right to just say, well, I'm going to specify for the Bible. However, I'm going to be addressing that maybe all tongues are known languages. They're just not known to you. Or there's even room in some of these verses to say that maybe they're not known on this planet, but they are languages. But hold on. I'll explain that. So they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave utterance in Acts 2:4. And it's important to see that it's the Holy Spirit, who is God, in the Spirit, it's the Holy Spirit that decided it was important, if they were going to be witnesses, that they have the gift of speaking in tongues. You know, it's not that they decided and conjured this up. In Acts 2:11, they spoke in tongues the wonderful works of God, speaking to glorify God to people from other nations who were present, who spoke other languages. See, some people will say, oh, tongues are of Satan or the flesh, and some say baptism of the Holy Spirit is simply to get the gift of tongues, but I'm saying that was not their purpose that day. The Holy Spirit made that choice, who gives gifts as he wills. And some say that tongues today would not glorify God, but they started out from the very beginning with the purpose of glorifying God and glorifying God to people with other languages. And actually, last week, I did happen to mention this to God. I would like this because I was in a bilingual church where actually the service was being interpreted into five languages. And I thought how cool it would be if I could understand Spanish already much better than I do. So I'll keep that in prayer. But they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them to them. They didn't necessarily know what language they were speaking. They didn't plan this. They may or may not have had a physical interpreter right there. But the people that were present understood. We know that. And another purpose of speaking in tongues is to express gladness, that our heart can rejoice in Christ our Savior or in what he's done and who he is. And the Bible's clear in Acts 2:11 that we're talking about praising God for his wonderful works, or expressing our gladness that we know him personally. And in Acts 10:46, they heard them speak. Excuse me, my cursor fouled up. They heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. And so you see this purpose of tongues to be able to rejoice, to worship him, is very, very clear in Acts. And some say that tongues only minister to the one speaking. And maybe they don't know about this dimension of how it enables us to praise God, glorify God, magnify God beyond our natural ability to do so. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Because some things it's just hard to put words to, especially something as big as how wonderful God is. Acts 19:6, they spake with tongues and prophesied. Now, I want to make you aware that there are, I think it's about five. I didn't do a fresh study on the baptism of the Holy Spirit. But there are about five times that we see the Bible describing someone experiencing the baptism of the Holy Ghost or Holy Spirit, and then there's a manifestation of a spiritual gift. But here's another thing that you may have been mistaught or heard people say, that the gift of speaking in tongues is a manifestation of the baptism of the Holy Spirit every time. This is not true. It's not what the Bible says. Now, it is common. Very end, I'm going to give you a list of times, but for right now, I'll just say that in this case, like in Acts 19:6, you know, they ask, you know, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? And they said, we've never even heard of the Holy Spirit. We've just had the baptism of John, you know, looking forward to a Messiah. And so they did what people will often do when people aren't really saved or they're not sure, is they'll invite them to receive Christ, in which case the Holy Spirit comes in. My belief is you get the Holy Spirit at that moment because, you know, God is Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. They're sealed. Their salvation is sealed by the Holy Spirit, the Bible says. And in this passage, they not only received the gift of tongues, but the gift of prophecy. And people need to know that when people receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, always the gift of tongues. And I guess God didn't want me to be dogmatic about that. I was raised in a denomination where they didn't believe in tongues, period, so I wasn't looking for that either. But when I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, it was glorious. I mean, Jesus appeared to me in the corner of my hotel room the next morning as I was in praise and worship. I couldn't stop crying. I mean, God was just all over me so big time. But the gift that I received was evangelism. And you may say, well, how supernatural is that? Well, in my case, it was because it wasn't like me to be sharing Christ with everybody that stood still long enough, you know. I mean, I was definitely just rejoicing in the baptism of the Holy Spirit that was empowering me to be a witness. Woo-hoo. Amen. Amen. That's the main thing, that we can lift up the name of Jesus. And let's see, where are we? Okay. Then in Romans 3:13, it speaks of the tongue being an open sepulcher. With their tongues they have used deceit, the poison of asps. Now, this is not about speaking in tongues. This is another listing of this verse, I mean this word, 1100. It's not about speaking in tongues, but I think it makes an important point that we need to submit our tongues to God, period. We need to tell the Holy Spirit he can say anything through our tongue he wants. Because if we are rebellious and we refuse to submit our tongues to God for him to use any way he wants, then we can wind up deceived, like this verse is talking about. We can wind up actually poisoning others, like bitterness poisons others. Our tongues can be used to glorify God or not. And so I believe when people come against tongues altogether and say they cannot be of God, then they are speaking error. In Romans 14:11, says, they shall bow down to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. And some people think, well, you know, it's optional. I don't have to confess what God says. I don't have to agree with the Bible. I certainly don't have to agree with tongues. But the element in this verse that saying that sooner or later, now or later, every tongue or ethnic group will confess Christ. If not now, at the day of judgment, they will bow down, the Bible says. Everyone will have a chance to know that Jesus Christ is God, the way, the truth, and the life. Hallelujah. Woo-hoo. Okay, so 1 Corinthians 12:10, now we get into the chapters that are most well known for bringing clarity to this issue. It says, they'll give to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. Now, I want to suggest to you that there is room in this verse. It doesn't specify that it's known languages. It doesn't say they're known languages on this earth or in particular tribes or nations. It just says different kinds of languages. But I want to submit to you that you can't put this in a box. And I'll give you another verse that tells you why it could be in a second heaven also and not even on this planet. And you'll hear people talk about, and myself included, about tongues can include a heavenly language. A heavenly language that God has given us so that we'll be able to praise Him, we'll be able to commune with the Holy Spirit, to receive from the Holy Spirit. And I would say also, because Jude 20 says, praying in the Spirit charges up your most holy faith, that we're commanded to speak in tongues or pray in the Spirit so that we can charge up. And Ephesians 6 talks about our weapons, the armor and our weapons of warfare. And it talks about our offensive weapons being the sword of the Spirit, and praying in the Spirit. So there it is again, then, to be able to pray beyond your natural knowledge. And when you pray in the Spirit and you let the Holy Spirit pray through you, then you can pray things that He knows about that are on the other side of the planet, that are in the future, or something I really appreciate, we might even be praying about our own blind spot and not know it. We might be bringing healing to our own spirit, soul, and body, because we're agreeing with the Holy Spirit about things that we don't even know in the natural. How cool is that? I mean, God is so good. He can give you the ability to even pray for yourself beyond your own natural insight. And tongues can also be interpreted, it says, in 1 Corinthians 12:10, to another the interpretation of tongues. This is probably the gift that I have not functioned in, or not that much. Maybe I thought it was prophecy and was actually the interpretation of tongues. But I believe that people don't just have one gift, that they have several, or why don't we just say we can say that the Holy Spirit has all the gifts. He's inside us, and so we have whatever gift we need. And which one's the most important? Well, the one you need at the time. So tongues can be accompanied by interpretation. But there's also many examples in the Bible that talks about praying in the Spirit, intercession, worshiping God in the Spirit, singing in the Spirit, where there is not an interpretation. So there's, again, a place where some people are dogmatic and said you can't speak in tongues unless there's somebody with the gift of interpretation. But the Bible doesn't box God in like that. We need to know the Holy Spirit can do what He wants, when He wants, where He wants. And thank God He does. 1 Corinthians 12:28 talks about gifts of healing, help, government, and diversities of tongues. Now, there's that word again, letting us know that there's diversity in the gift of tongues. It's not all the same thing for the same purpose. God, along with other spiritual gifts, has given us tongues. And we're seeing this another list of spiritual gifts. There are several lists of spiritual gifts in the Bible. Another erroneous thing that some people say is that there's just 9 gifts. True, one of the lists happens to have 9 in it, but all the lists aren't the same. And I've got a test that I put together on spiritual gifts where I combined several tests that I found with a little bit of my knowledge about testing, and I came up with about 22 gifts. So I'm not going to push that point tonight, but it's important to know that tongues was not a one-time event at Pentecost like some people might try to tell you. That doesn't make any sense at all. That is probably the, my husband would say, you've got to be a moron to believe that. Don't repeat that after me. But it's important to know that almost all of these verses that were written about speaking in tongues were written way after Pentecost, you know, so that just doesn't make any sense at all. We won't stay on that. So do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? is a question in 1 Corinthians 12:30, and the implied answer is no, that not everybody has that gift. And I just want to bring that up because of the pressure that I have seen some people put on other people, that if you're going to have the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you have to manifest this one gift, and you know, we're going to stand here with you and hold your arms up till you get it. I think that we need to be careful about that, because in the biblical examples of people receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit, it was not tongues every time. And we don't need to go beyond what the Bible says. We need to stick with the Bible. And the Bible said prophecy sometimes. And sometimes we've got some people that we all know and love, like Jesus Christ himself, that we're not sure if he ever spoke in tongues. And there is a time in the Bible when he spoke, and I have read that they have not determined what language he was speaking, so that might be an example of when he did. But it's better not to be dogmatic. Just let the Bible say what it says and let God, you know, lead people. 1 Corinthians 13:8, there be prophecies, that if there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. And this is one of the most misused verses that I know of in the Bible. People try to say, the perfect has already come, and that means there's, okay, now let's get oriented again. This sounds like something a disoriented person says to me, and I was taught this when I was a kid. When was Corinthians written? Was it before Pentecost, or before Jesus came the first time, or after? Because they'll try to say, well, Jesus has already come and gone, so therefore tongues and prophecy don't exist anymore. Well, this was written way after Jesus came, right? And so I would say the perfect, the only one perfect is Jesus. We know that Jesus is coming again, but he hasn't come back again. So 1 Corinthians 13:8 isn't saying because Jesus has come back the second time, there's no more need for tongues or prophecy, because Jesus hasn't and hadn't come back the second time. But he will come back, and when he does, then we'll have glorified bodies, probably glorified everything, and there's an indication here that we won't need spiritual gifts, at least not in the way that we value them now. Does that make sense? Remember that all these verses we're going through right now, most of which are in Corinthians, are written way after Jesus died and rose again and after Pentecost. So they are about church life years after Pentecost. Okay. The tongues are also for speaking unto God as well as signs to unbelievers. Some people will take a verse that says they're for, you know, a sign to unbelievers, and they'll say that's the only time you can speak in tongues. I could name names, but I won't. And that's not true. The Bible clearly says that tongues have at least three, say half a dozen. And in 1 Corinthians 14:2, for he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. So, of course, sometimes it was for the benefit of men, like we saw at Pentecost, but this verse is opening us up to realize that sometimes our unknown tongue is we're speaking to God or praying to God. And this is another verse where people will say these tongues were most likely heavenly languages because we're speaking to God. Or in 1 Corinthians 14:4, he that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifieth himself, but he that prophesieth edifieth the church. And so one of the purposes of speaking in an unknown tongue is to edify yourself. So how cool is that? Most people say that at least for a time in their life, they don't know what language they're speaking. But there may be an occasion when somebody recognizes that language, and you're able to find out. But at any rate, the point here in 1 Corinthians 14:4 is that you don't have to have mental understanding. And that's kind of the whole point with speaking in tongues. where you just release your tongue to the Holy Spirit to pray however he wants to, and you're not insisting on being in control or having mental understanding, because the point of speaking in tongues is to edify or communicate spirit to spirit. Spirit to spirit, it's awesome. And we just have to let go and say, Holy Spirit, you pray or say or give a message, say anything through me that you want. What? Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians 14:5, you know, I wish that you all spake with tongues. I don't have the beginning of that verse here, but rather that you prophesied. And Paul is strongly encouraging them to speak in tongues. This is long after Pentecost. And he is, you know, encouraging them to covet or earnestly desire the spiritual gifts. And others would say, well, you can't just speak in tongues anytime you want to. But the Bible, again, does not say that. We must not add to what the Bible says and say it with authority as if the Bible says it. It does not say that. In fact, I'll give you some verses that will show just the opposite. 1 Corinthians 14:5, is he that prophesieth, that speaketh with tongues except he interpret. The Bible does speak about the benefit of having an interpretation. And, of course, these guidelines are being given because exercising spiritual gifts was a strong part of church life. Hold on, my cursor's acting crazy. Please pray for it, so that I can move it around without it erasing my page. I'd like to quote from a couple of people that we can read about in church history that describe tongues being spoken in churches long after the Bible was written, because some people try to tell you that tongues ceased when the apostles died, and that also is absolutely not true, but I'm sure most people don't mean to lie. They just heard what somebody else said. Irenaeus in A.D. 130 to 200 described spiritual gifts in his day. Justin and Augustine cite their continued use of tongues in the early centuries, and they were respected church leaders. You know, they are not some kooks that were off the wall, renegades, lone rangers. You know, they're not cultists. In A.D. 257, Novatian wrote of tongues and prophets in the church. Tertullian in A.D. 160 to 200, and Bishop Hilary, who died in A.D. 367, wrote about tongues in their writings. So, you know, that's quite a few years there after the early church writings. And I just wanted to mention those. If you didn't catch all that, remember that you can pause this after it's in the archives and write it down. It'll be at about 9:37 p.m., or that would be 37 minutes into the program. Is this interesting so far? I think it's important for us to know why we believe. But what I'm trying to emphasize tonight is to know what the Bible says so that we won't be confused or disillusioned by what people say, because there is a lot of confusion out there when people just really haven't sat down verse by verse and seen what the Bible says. So in 1 Corinthians 14:6, you know, he's saying, what shall it profit you? And it's talking about, is it more profitable to speak in tongues with interpretation? And to a congregation, he's saying, it is. It is. And in 1 Corinthians 14:9, ye utter by the tongue words easy to be understood. How shall it be known? And he's beginning to talk about, Apostle Paul's beginning to talk about the benefit of, again, you've got that limitation with prophecy that it's being spoken one language. Like in the services I was in last week that were being interpreted in five languages, somebody had to get up and interpret all of those. But when you've got the gift of tongues operating, everybody there might be able to hear it in their own language without all that effort. How cool is that? In 1 Corinthians 14:13, wherefore let him that speaketh in an unknown tongue pray that he may interpret. And some people might say, well, the interpreter's got to be another person besides the person that gave the message in tongues. That is not true. We see here in 1 Corinthians 14:13 that the speaker is exhorted to pray to get the interpretation themselves. And, of course, the interpretation is good because for many reasons we all want understanding. We want to know God better. And Paul is discouraging the misuse of a gift. You know, if you're going to give a message in tongues in a service, then pray for the interpretation so that everyone benefits. In 1 Corinthians 14, pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth. But, again, it's saying this is coming from your spirit, which is one with the Spirit of God. And it's saying it's absolutely normal that you may not understand what your spirit is praying. And in 1 Corinthians 14:18, my God, I speak with tongues more than ye all. Paul is saying, I thank my God that I speak with tongues more than all of you. And so this is a pretty high recommendation. You know, who do we respect in the Bible? And to write more of the Bible than the Holy Spirit through Apostle Paul. And he's saying that tongues isn't just for a new person that can't do anything else. It's not just your introductory gift, and it'll be less important as soon as you can get something else. Paul is saying, as learned as I am, or as an apostle chosen by Jesus Christ, or as one who has seen Jesus Christ with my own eyes, I still choose to speak in tongues more than anybody. So that ought to settle a lot of dispute right there. 1 Corinthians 14:18 was that verse. And now 1 Corinthians 14:19, you know, on the other hand, you might say that it's better to speak 5 words in the language that's being understood that day, like in our case it would be English, rather than 10,000 that no one understands. And that's a point, but that doesn't mean that tongues are invalid, right? So don't try to make the Bible say something it doesn't say. 1 Corinthians 14:22, tongues are for a sign, not to them that believe, but to them that unbelieve. And so we've got tongues benefiting other Christians in the congregation. We've got tongues benefiting us, sighing and praising God. And now we've got tongues that are a sign to unbelievers, and when they hear that interpretation. Now, I have witnessed this personally. The first time I ever heard a message in tongues in a congregation, because I was raised in a denomination that just denied the spiritual gifts for the most part, I was all ears because I heard someone at the appropriate time in the service begin to stand, and it was the right time, and they gave this message in tongues. And I didn't have a clue what they were saying. But guess what? The little Japanese man that was sitting on my row did understand them, and he was very, very blessed by hearing God speak to him in his language. It was so touching, and I thought, oh, this is what it's about. I don't know if he had a perfect command of the English language or not, but God, in his gracious love and care, had someone speak in that man's native tongue. And that said as much to me as all this teaching. I thought, that's what this is all about. And then, let's move on. 1 Corinthians 14:23, and I'll speak with tongues, and there come in those that are unlearned. There are guidelines. This is part of the guidelines for speaking in tongues. And some people would say that tongues cannot be spoken without an interpreter. We've covered that. Okay, then let me go on to the next verse because I'm about to cover that. 1 Corinthians 14:26. Some have a doctrine, some have a tongue, some have a revelation, interpretation to share, but let all things be done for edifying the church. That's their motivation. And some would say that you can't have more than one message in tongues, or you can't, you know, everybody can't have a prophecy. And the Bible is clear that we should let all things be done, and let all things be done in order, but not to worship order so much that we don't let all things be done. And in one of the verses right here, it's going to say that, you know, if everybody's got a prophecy, you know, take them one by one, and nobody keep the floor forever. You know, somebody else has a prophecy, sit down, let them share. Let it be two or three at a time, maybe, in 1 Corinthians 14:27. But keep in mind that it also says that sometimes everybody may have a prophecy. And so, again, you can't put that in a box. 1 Corinthians 14:39, forbid not to speak in tongues. Now this, and I think it says it again in Thessalonians, is probably one of the most disobeyed verses concerning this, because people just decide, well, we're just not going to have that in our church. And we need to let God be God. We need to let the Holy Spirit be God, because he knows if somebody there needs to hear a message in tongues or not, and is control anything. So we're commanded to earnestly desire the spiritual gifts, not to forbid speaking in tongues. And in Philippians 2:11, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, and sometimes that's going to be in another language. God has a purpose for that. Like I said, the man on my row really, really was blessed when he heard it also in his language. Philippians 2:11, that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, and James 1:26, that we should bridle. If a person does not bridle their own tongue, they can have deceit in their heart. And I would say that if you refuse, now listen, watch this, escucho. I would say that if you refuse to submit your tongue to the Holy Spirit, refuse to let him speak through you in other tongues, whether it's a heavenly language, whether it's to benefit other people in their language, whether it's to praise God, then you're not totally submitted to the Holy Spirit. And you can't just do this a la carte. You can't just pick and choose. We either submit our tongues to God, and our tongues bless and not curse, they glorify God, or we resist the Holy Spirit, and then we're not obedient. And so there may be some listening that have just realized that I am not as obedient to God as I think, because I have not surrendered my tongue to God, because I want to be in control. I want to know everything that's going on. You know, I want my mind to have understanding. And the Holy Spirit is saying, no, trust me. James 3:5, even so the tongue is a little member, and it is, but we need to let Christ be in control of everything. James 3:6, the tongue is a fire and a world of iniquity, and it can be, and it would, you know, if we refuse to let Christ control us, then no telling what other lies we're believing or speaking or sharing with others if you have heard and shared some of the deceptions that I've mentioned tonight. James 3:6, so is the tongue among our members that it can defile, see? And when we refuse to believe God and submit to God, then it's very likely that we're defiling others too, or if we've discouraged other people from submitting their tongue to the Holy Spirit to use in any way he wants. 3:8, but the tongue can no man tame. It is unruly, and certainly we're being unruly if we refuse to yield to the Holy Spirit. 1 Peter 3:10, let's refrain our tongues from evil. And 1 John 3:18, that we should love in the word, and not only, you know, with our tongues, but also in deeds and with truth. And I submit to you that God gave us the gift of speaking in tongues because we don't always know what truth to share at that moment. We don't know the questions that are in men's hearts. We don't know the secrets of men's hearts. But, there's a verse in 1 Corinthians that says that tongues unlocks mysteries. That's one of my favorites because when I minister to you, the Holy Spirit knows how to minister to you. I don't. And when I prophesy, I don't usually know the context. I don't know the application. I don't know the relevancy like dictation from the Holy Spirit. I'm called a Naba prophet. It just wells up in me. And I just say what I see or say what I hear, but I don't know how the Holy Spirit's going to apply it to you. So you may be relieved to hear that. In Revelation 5:9 are some other examples about the use of our tongues that aren't necessarily about speaking in tongues like other languages, but some could be. Every kindred and tongue and people and nation in Revelation 5:9. And it says they sang a new song. See, that could be singing in the Spirit. If you haven't heard a whole congregation sing in the Spirit, it's beautiful. It's beautiful. And many times that is healing somebody or setting somebody free or giving them the insights that they need. Revelation 7:9, kindreds and people and tongues stood before, I think it's the throne, it cut that off right there, a great multitude from every nation. And so, you know, I'm beginning to get this as I went through studying these other verses that are about every kindred, every nation, every tongue shall see him or shall glorify him. Or, you know, as the book of Revelation unfolds, I'm like, God is really into this. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him will have eternal life. I said eternal instead of everlasting because eternal is past, present, and future. Everlasting is not your past. I want eternal life. I want a new past, too. That's what I got. But it's important to know that God is into every tongue, every people group, every ethnic group, every nation, being able to know him and praise him. Amen. 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 And so I hope this has helped you. You may have to listen to it again. But I believe God knew what our questions would be about this gift. He's already answered them. We don't have to worry about what people say. I'm sorry. I'm thirsty. We just need to go by what the Bible says. And if you get access to Strong's Concordance online, you'll see that there's other verses. And there's one more thing I want to share with you. Oh, I'm thirsty. Hold on. Thank you, thank you. Food for thought as we close. Did everybody that received the baptism of the Holy Spirit speak in tongues? Let me ask you something. When Jesus was baptized or at any point in his ministry, are we absolutely sure that he spoke in tongues? When Paul received the baptism of the Holy Spirit on the Damascus Road, or when Ananias came and prayed for him and his eyes were healed, did he speak in tongues? There's no recording of it. He did speak in tongues later and more than others, but not necessarily. So I think when we try to force people to speak in tongues when they're initially baptized in the Spirit, we're adding to what the Bible says. The Samaritans were recorded as receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and they were not recorded speaking in tongues. And here's some famous people. Charles Finney in the Second Awakening, D.L. Moody, you know, we're very sure that there was a great revival there, but there's nothing recorded about tongues. The Welsh Revival in early 1900s, Andrew Murray for what he's written about prayer and everything, and we don't know that he spoke in tongues. A.B. Simpson, and the Alliance Churches, R.A. Torrey's Overseas Revival, Reese Howells and the South African Revival, A.W. Tozer, and Dr. Lloyd Jones. It's a pretty impressive list. You might know some current day people that you would add to that list. And yes, we respect maybe some more than others, but then there are also many well-known cases where people did speak in tongues. The 120 disciples, the Gentiles at Cornelius' house, you know, were baptized in spirit and spoke in tongues. The Ephesians that Paul asked you to receive the Holy Spirit. The L.A. Azusa Street Revival in 1906. Pentecostal churches all around the world today, and some of you may not realize that records show that more of the born-again Christians on the planet are Pentecostal and charismatic than not. Check it out. Smith Wigglesworth spoke in tongues, the South Korean Revival, South American Revival. So I just wanted to make those points. There's a lot of cases for either side. You just can't put it in a box, but keep this in mind. There are other evidences of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It can be other gifts. It can be prophecy in Luke 1:41, Acts 19:6. It can be boldness like in Acts 4. It can be miraculous healings that break out in Acts 5. Spiritual songs in Ephesians 5:19. Wisdom, incredible wisdom in Acts 6:3. Certainly great faith in Acts 6:8, and joy in Acts 13:52. Some believers receive the baptism of the Holy before their water baptism and some after. I'm saying all this to loosen you up and say the Holy Spirit can do it in whatever way he wants. The Bible is clear that all the gifts of the Holy Spirit are manifestations of the Spirit and are profitable personally and especially to edify the body of Christ and even unbelievers. So just let's just say, Lord, anywhere, anytime, any way, anyhow, we're yours. Just use our tongues, our hands, our feet, anything, any way you want. We just receive all that you have for us. Operate through us in any gift, any way you want. But I'll tell you, those of you that are a little strong will like I am or was, I quenched when I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit and I got that fabulous gift of evangelism. After about 10 days of it, I quenched it, and it took me forever to get it back. So we need to not try to dictate to the Holy Spirit how he does, what he does through us, when he does it, to whom he does it, and just be totally yielded. Amen. I just want to just stop right now and let's just praise the Lord. Let's praise the Lord that he knows best, that he has our best interest at heart, that he knows who's around us. He knows what they need to hear better than we do. So let's just stop.
Hallelujah, Lord, tonight we come to give you praise. Hallelujah. Give praise to Jesus, for he is the King. Let your voices ascend to his throne. On the wings of the music, let your hearts be raised, and in one accord make his praise known.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. We just praise your name. We praise your name that you have actually equipped us far better than we know. And we just need to receive it. We just choose to receive it, Lord. We receive the ability to live in the fifth dimension, not even restricted by time and place. Hallelujah. And we can speak in agreement with you into things that are going on the other side of the planet. We just thank you, Lord. We thank you, thank you, thank you. I want to encourage you to call a friend and encourage them to call in and receive personal prophetic ministry, to receive prophetic prayer. And tonight I want to encourage you to share examples of having the gift of speaking in tongues has benefited you or someone else, or what God has showed you through personal experience. I love to hear your testimonies. And so if you'll call a friend and invite them to join us at 917-388-4683. That's 917-388-4683. We'd love to hear from some new folks. And we thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for leading us and even giving us words of knowledge and wisdom of who to call. And I'd like to hear from some of you if you're already on the line. We have several callers. If you'll push number one and let me know that you have something to share or to ask, we'd love to hear from you. I'm going to call out your area code and invite you to share with us on the air like this. I'll say area code 724. Welcome to the program.
Hi, Carlotta. It's Lynn in Pittsburgh.
Hello, Lynn. How are you?
I'm fine.
Good, good.
I had an interesting example of speaking in tongues. I entered a hospital one time about the early 90s, unconscious, well, probably semi-conscious. I wasn't aware of my surroundings, but my spirit in me started praying in tongues because of my being so ill and not being conscious. And I started praying in tongues, and the doctor that came into the ER was a Jewish man who had obviously spent some time in Israel, and he realized that I wasn't, you know, out of my mind or anything, that I was actually speaking in tongues, even though he was a Jew, and he was not a Christian, he was just a Jew. And later, when I regained consciousness, he asked me if I spoke in tongues, and I told him, yes, I did. And I asked him why he knew that and why he asked me that. And he said, because you were speaking in tongues earlier. And he asked me if I would be willing to speak in tongues for the social worker, because she's never heard of anybody speaking in an unknown tongue. So he brought her into my hospital room, and I was able to speak in tongues. And this man obviously had spent time in Israel, because he realized that my tongue was either Arabic or Aramaic, and that was such a long time ago, I just cannot recall what language it was that he said I was speaking in.
That is absolutely the most amazing story.
The thing that's fascinating is I was unconscious, but my spirit realized that I was ill, and my spirit started speaking in tongues to God and praying for me, even though I was not able to and not alert enough to pray for myself in English, and that someone would actually walk in and realize that I wasn't out of my mind, that I was actually speaking in another language and knew what I was doing. And he did not share with me what I was saying, but I'm sure the Holy Spirit had a word or two for him that he was not, you know, humble enough to share with me.
Well, I tell you what, I love that story because it illustrates, one, that it was a known language even though you didn't know. Before that, you know what language it was?
No.
See, some people will say, well, it's got to be a known language. Well, it's known somewhere, but you didn't know.
Right.
Well, it was. And then who did it benefit?
It benefited me because I was praying for myself while I was not able to, And it benefited him because I'm sure the Holy Spirit had something to say to him. I just was not rambling on in Arabic or Aramaic. I probably said something to him that he was too proud to tell me what the message was that I was speaking.
Well, but he seemed to have compassion for his social worker, and for whatever motivation, he wanted her to know that it was real.
Yes.
It sounds like to me that God may have heard the cry of this Jewish man's heart that he was speaking.
Mm-hmm.
And even though you were only semi-conscious, he was enduing you with power to be a witness to him.
Yes, even when I wasn't even able to because I was too ill.
I tell you what, folks. One thing that I didn't mention that Lynn has alluded to almost is that even when we're asleep, the gift of speaking in tongues can be operating. I know all kinds of people that say they wake up speaking in tongues or singing in tongues, but you can be communing with the Holy Spirit, speaking His will, or He can be praying for you through your own mind and tongue, spirit and tongue, that is, and you not know anything about any of it. It's awesome.
Yes, I had no recollection of ever doing that. If he wouldn't have shared that with me later when I was conscious, I have no recollection of ever doing that.
Wow. Any other stories? That one was awesome.
No, that's the only tongue story that I have.
Okay. Well, I think it's important for us to know that even, you know, there might be somebody present, for instance, that needs to hear a message in their own language. It's not the same for them to hear it in English if their primary language is Japanese. You know, have you heard of that too, that the Holy Spirit is actually teaching or preaching or giving a testimony through you and you don't even know it?
Uh-huh.
Amen.
I did want to share one other thing. I'm also friends with Dr. Rebecca Brown. And she's led, I have no idea how many people she's led to the Lord because she's quite an evangelist, but I know it's been at least 1,000 people she's led to the Lord, and that's not an exaggeration. And I know that she is spirit-filled, but she does not speak in tongues.
Wow. Yeah, and you know, unfortunately, the body of Christ can be very opinionated on things that they don't know and people they don't know firsthand. She's been a blessing to me, too, and I've heard other people, you know, that weren't so sure about that. But I think that we need to just love each other and to know that the Holy Spirit gives people the gifts that they need. You know, maybe she needs discernment more than she needs this or whatever. But at the time that it's needed, the Holy Spirit will demonstrate spiritual gifts through us in power to lift up Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Wow. Thank you, Lord. Okay. Father, I thank you for Lynn. I thank you for where you've placed her. Oh, my. Where she has been, right there near Pittsburgh and the seat of so much darkness that's going on. And it's almost like a center of darkness there in our nation. I thank you for the discernment that you've given her and the ability to discern the sources of the spirits that are operating behind things, discerning spirits. I thank you for the ways that you're working in her, healing her, and bringing about more and more freedom in her. I thank you for the courage that you've given her to be a witness in places and to people that other people don't even know exist, wouldn't even believe. But I just thank you, that Holy Spirit, that you have been fine-tuning her and teaching her how to operate in that discernment, giving her words of knowledge and words of wisdom. And I thank you for the yieldedness that she has to be willing to wait on you, to let you lead her just step by step, step by step. She doesn't have to know everything, doesn't have to know everything right now. Thank you, Lord. I just see flags flying from other tongues and nations. I just hear the Lord saying, Lynn, you have no clue how many times you have spoken in other tongues and it has benefited people in other nations as you've been praying things that you don't know in the natural. You've been speaking things you would never, I mean, even if you were awake and conscious, you wouldn't know what you were saying. But the Lord says, because if you've submitted your tongue to me in so many ways, you've been able to bless people all around the planet, and someday I'll show you. I'll show you, because what's going to matter when you get to heaven, you're going to know that you know what matters is how many lives you shared my love with, my truth with, how many people you brought with you. And you may not think it's many, but the Lord says you have no clue how many people you've actually interceded for, and they've been healed or set free or come to know me or gotten just the right intervention at the time that they needed it, because there was someone to stand in the gap, even at those, especially at those times when you weren't praying in English and you didn't know what you were saying. But one day, I'm going to show you everything, okay? Bless you, bless you. Bless you, bless you, bless you. I think that's part of what heaven makes heaven so wonderful, is you're going to look around and say, I have no clue I sowed all these seeds, you know?
Yeah.
No clue how God multiplied it. No clue all those hours I spent speaking in tongues and praying in tongues, singing the Spirit. Had no clue the lives that were changed. Thank you, Lord, for that privilege. Thank you so much. I thank you for calling in. That was great. I will never forget that story. I know other people want to, because they hope if they're ever unconscious that the right things come out of their mouth. Well, so what goes in comes out, folks. So keep thinking through it, and you'll be prepared. Amen. Okay. Bless you, bless you. Please call in again.
Right. Okay, good night.
Good night, good night, good night. Okay, we have a lot of other callers, but no one's pushed number one yet. And so if you have something to share, we'd love to hear it. We'd just love to hear it, because, you know, those stories, you know, Jesus taught in parables. We would just remember those stories forever, don't we? Area code 469, welcome to the program.
Hi, it's Kenesha.
Hi, Kenesha, how are you?
I'm good, and you?
I'm good. I'm all pumped up after going to King Jesus Ministries last week. I saw so much of healing and mentoring, supernatural in action. I never thought, it's not that I fought against it, but I've just never actually been in a church where everybody's mentored and everybody's mentored in order to become a mentor. I thought, boy, this is what Jesus had in mind.
Wow.
I could just picture
that. That's awesome.
The third great awakening happening now that I saw that in action. I mean, thousands and thousands of people, and they all get it. They all get that we're here to make disciples who make disciples also.
Mm.
Okay,
wow.
Do you have something?
That's awesome.
You have something you can share with us.
Yeah, I had just a testimony about speaking in tongues. When I first started speaking, this was like early when I first, I can't say received the gift of the Holy Spirit, because like you said earlier, tongues is not necessarily, you know, the gift of the Holy Spirit, but a manifestation of the gift. And so this was early on, though, right, when the Lord really started to do a work in me. This person was cursing me and screaming and being real mean. And the Lord said to begin to pray in the Holy Ghost, and I started to pray in tongues, and the person immediately fell asleep, like instantly.
Locked him out.
And I was and I was shocked because that was my first time ever seeing that this really works. Like that's what those were my thoughts. This really works. And that was only one. And just recently when I had my last baby, the doctors were saying that they could not get the placenta out and that they were going to have to give me a hysterectomy, which was not God's will. And so I started to pray in tongues, and then I went to sleep praying in tongues. And my mom, in another state, she saw standing over me about to stop me from having children, and she got up and began to pray. And when I woke up, I asked the doctor what was going on and what happened, and she said they didn't have to do the hysterectomy. They don't know, but they were able to get it out. So that's just two things that really stand out for me.
Thank you.
Because it was amazing to me.
It's a wonderful way to intercede for each other, is to pray in tongues, because God knows exactly what, you know, our brothers and sisters need exactly. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Thank you, thank you. Thank you for that baby, Lord. Thank you for orchestrating everything. And with a little tongue-in-cheek, we thank you for knocking some people out, if necessary.
Yes. That really shocked me because I was just new and everything was snoring, and I was like, oh, my gosh, this really works. So, yeah, it's funny now when I think about it, but in the midst, I was like thinking, didn't think I'm crazy. I'm praying in tongues, and this person is cursing me out, but God is good. So I just wanted to share those two things.
Well, thank you. And I want to clarify for some people that are thinking this. Yes, the devil can knock people out, too. You know how some people fall asleep during the most anointed services? It's like the most anointed is, the quicker they fall asleep in church.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's the devil. That is not God. But in the case of somebody trying to oppose what the Holy Spirit is doing, he is well able to just knock that person out, too, and shut them up.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. And even one of the verses we mentioned tonight is God's not only able to activate your tongue, he's also able to silence it.
No. Wow.
So we need to know that sometimes God just wants to silence us, too, and not detract from what the Holy Spirit is doing.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
I really believe too, Prophet Carlotta. I really believe that when I began to pray in tongues on that hospital table, the Holy Spirit revealed to my mother that she needed to get up and pray.
Uh-huh.
And so I'm grateful. I'm so grateful for the Holy Ghost because, like you keep saying it, we don't know what we need, but he definitely knows. And I did not need them to do a hysterectomy because God has opened my womb. I was told that I could never have children, and I have four. So that was not God's will to do that.
All right. And sometimes we don't know God's will, but if we have the gift of speaking in tongues, then we can be sure that we are praying in alignment with God's will.
Yes.
Even if we don't know, you know, what he wants. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Wow, Carnita, I was just seeing a picture of you swinging something. It's not clear to me exactly what it is. I don't think it's just a pipe, and it's not like the Jedi warrior lightsaber, but you were swinging something in the spirit, and it was strong and effective and powerful. And I just hear the Lord saying, never underestimate the power of the words that I speak through you. I create the whole world, you know. The words that I speak through you can accomplish my will in any time, any place, in any way. never underestimate and never think that it's a waste of time, not that you do, but never worry about those things. Because my word goes forth, it never comes back void. It's powerful and effective. It divides asunder so that people can understand what is flesh, what is spirit. It's just powerful and profitable in every way. And my word spoken in tongues is just as powerful as any prophetic word. And I mean this with all reverence, you know, that the Holy Spirit can speak through the written word, the prophetic word, the rhema, you know, spoken word of God through tongues, but all of it is powerful.
Yeah.
The lights just came on for somebody. I can feel it. Somebody had not realized that the power of God's spoken word through speaking in tongues is just as powerful as if he had spoken in your language.
Yeah.
Or just as powerful if you were speaking the written word. And so this exhortation, I suppose, is for everybody, that we will value, give great, great value to the opportunity to let the Holy Spirit speak through us, whether we're alone in the congregation with the lost or speaking to God, that we would be so, so honored that you want to speak through us, Lord, and that you will give us the words to say, because when we're speaking in tongues, it's beyond our natural ability, our natural knowledge, our natural power, and we thank you. We thank you that you even want to know us, that you want to live through us.
Yeah.
But especially on a daily basis, that we have the honor of letting you speak through us, speak mysteries, speak healing and deliverance, speak intercession, speak praise, and the wonder of your works, whatever you want to do, Lord, we thank you.
Yes, Lord.
Amen. I'm learning through this, too. I'm telling you, doing these word studies, God can really open your eyes as you, you know, meditate on the scriptures.
Yes.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Did you have anything else, Kanisha?
Oh, I always have a lot of things, but no, I'll leave it at this.
Well, actually, right now we have a lot of callers, but nobody else has pushed one. So if the Holy Spirit's leading you to tell another story or something, go ahead.
No, I just had a question, actually,
in
mind. I don't know if this is the right thing to do or not. But some people say, well, it doesn't matter what people say. Okay, when I'm praying sometimes, like just interceding for people, then it says I start to pray in tongues, but in my mind, I know what I'll – it's like in my mind, I'm saying what I want to say to God, but Lord, help me to explain it. Can you know what you're saying? Is there a way that you can know what you're saying in tongues in your mind? Does that make sense?
So, because one of the verses that I shared earlier said, let the one that speaketh, or, you know, is speaking in tongues, pray for the interpretation. So the indication is that you can get the interpretation yourself. It's also, when it says pray for the interpretation, it's also indicating that you don't automatically get an interpretation, or that you don't automatically get it every time. And in my case, it's hard for me to tell, like I said earlier, because what I think may be a word of prophecy that I'm getting might have also been a word of interpretation, because I often pray in tongues before I minister.
Mm-hmm.
As long as it's God, I don't care.
But this way is kind of like, it's kind of like I want to say things. Like, for an example, if I want to ask God to bless you financially, it's like instead of me saying it with my mouth, when I open up my mouth, it comes out in tongues, but in my head, I know what I'm saying. Does that make sense?
Yes, and I think one of the wild things about speaking in tongues is that you can be speaking in tongues and thinking in English at the same time.
That's what I'm trying to explain. Is that, I can't say is it normal, but yeah, I didn't know if
so that might be an interpretation. One of the first questions that I had about this kind of issue when I was first visited this Church of God where tongues, messages in tongues, interpretation with tongues was really big at this church, I came straight from my denomination to visiting that church, and my neighbor took me. So on the way home, I was full of questions because I had heard that message in tongues being given, and I could see myself that the Japanese man was so blessed by it. And so I asked, you know, direct questions like, how do you know that was really the interpretation? And she said, because several people in the church will have the same gift of interpretation, and they know if somebody just made something up or if that was the real interpretation. And I said, really? Because I didn't realize there was a check and balance to it, that, you know, it may sound like gibberish to you, but there are other people in the church with the gift of interpretation of tongues, and they know what's actually being said, regardless of the language. And they know if someone gives an interpretation, if they gave the right one. And so that's why I say sometimes I'm not sure when I'm also speaking in tongues, but I'm also hearing something in English. Okay, is that a prophetic word coming through my mind, or is that the interpretation? I don't know. As long as it's God, I'm happy, you know.
Right? Yeah. I believe that speaking in tongues is so much more powerful than what we can comprehend.
Yes, that seemed to be what the word, prophetic word just now was saying, that never underestimate, and we've got the Creator who spoke all things into existence speaking through us. And so not only should we never look down on the gift of tongues, because some people act like it's the beginner gift, you know, it's just your starter gift, you'll do better later. But when God is speaking through you, it doesn't get any more powerful than that.
Oh, I heard that.
I understand that Paul says covet or desire earnestly spiritual gifts, especially that you may prophesy, but either way, God is speaking through you.
But when Paul was saying that, it seemed as if he was, you know, speaking more corporately, like when we're all gathered together, then the prophetic gift of speaking in your regular language would be more helpful to others. But
especially if there's no interpretation. But
you
the
know,
Bible the Bible indicates that tongues is a beneficial to the unbeliever too, so it's very versatile.
Yeah, so true. You know, one time I was having a lady ask me, she kept wanting to pray for me, and I felt very uncomfortable. She kept wanting to lay hands on my stomach. And I felt very uncomfortable, and so I went home, and I got in my room, and I got on my knees, and I said, Father, can you show me the truth about this woman? Because I feel very uncomfortable, and I don't want to feel this way about her. If this is just me, can you show me the truth? And immediately, I fell asleep, and I was in the dream, and the lady was saying, come and pray with me. And so we grabbed hands together to pray. But when I grabbed her hands, my whole body got hot like a fire. And she kept pulling me, like, backwards into her room saying, you know, that this is the way she wanted to pray, closer into her room. But the closer I got into her room, the higher it got. And I started to become fearful, really afraid. And she started to pray in this language, which I thought was from God. I thought it was holy. But I got scared. And the Lord spoke very loud and clear, and he said, do not fear. He said, pray in your heavenly language. And when I started to pray in my heavenly language, a demon manifested from the woman, and she dropped my hands, and she ran.
Ha, ha, ha.
And then I woke up, and I was like, oh, my gosh, why would you show me that, Lord? What am I supposed to do now? But that really showed me how effective speaking in tongues is and how real it is. That my feelings, for the Lord to say to me, do not fear, because she was speaking in this language that sounds like tongues. I guess it was.
I'm glad you brought that up, because tongues can be of Satan. Satan is speaking tongues. The demonic spirits will try to counterfeit anything they can. So there's no use in picking the gift of tongues, because they try to counterfeit everything. In fact, a Satanist can be talking to you and sound like they're talking Christian. You know, they talk about sacrifice. Yeah, they mean something totally different. They talk about, they have baptism. They have, they'll talk about the power of the blood, but they don't mean what you mean. And I also wanted to point out one more thing that you reminded me of. Even one word, because a lot of times we want a flowing tongue, you know, that's clearly, you know, this elaborate language, but even one word can be powerful, and it can even be a word that you don't know. And I put on Facebook this week an example of that. Just a couple days ago, God showed me a picture. It wasn't even a sentence or anything, and it just had one word, and it was D as in dog, D-A-N-D, and I didn't have any reference for that, so I'm trying to look it up in Strong's Concordance and in the Hebrew and the Greek, and I couldn't find damned anywhere. And then I Googled it. At first, that wasn't working. And then I said, okay, I'll Google where is damned, not what is or who is damned. And when I did that, then it turned out to be a district where a famous town is where terrorists had their base. It talked about how it's destroyed and how they've been working on rebuilding their base there. And I thought,
wow.
God, for intercession, God is telling me to pray about going on in the district of Dan. And I will ask all of you tonight to agree with us that only God's will be done in the district of Dan if there is a terrorist training or plot or anything that would bring harm to people or to the plans of God or anything like that from the devil, that we can join together and we can cancel every assignment of the enemy that's being cooked up in the district of Dan.
In the name of Jesus.
So that was just one word. And it's unknown to me. It's from a place that I've never been. But it doesn't matter. If you receive what God's saying or showing you, then he can give you the interpretation, the importance of it, and we can all agree very safely, you know, without a lot of natural knowledge, we can agree that anything that's not of God that's going on in Dan, we just come together and agree for that to be canceled, that all the demonic input or power that it's operating on will all be canceled. We say that any demons that are increasing their knowledge or communications or even giving them intelligence that's from supernatural sources, that's demonic, so all that's canceled. And I speak confusion into the plans of the enemy that they will not be able to continue on with their terrorist training or whatever they're doing and hurt people.
Yes.
We just cancel it in the name of Jesus. Well, thank you. I appreciate you calling. Let me give one more encouragement to those that are on the line. if you would like to share something or ask or pray something, please push number 1. If you've not called in yet, please call 917-388-4683, 917-388-4683. Tell you what makes me happy is when you all invite new people and invite your friends. Now, I realize that thousands of people listen to this and don't call in. I understand that. And I also know that, you know, a couple of thousand people may download it. Not everybody downloads it. I understand that. But I love it when you call in because we all benefit from what you share, from your prayers, and we benefit from what God prophesies to you because there's usually something in it for everybody. Amen? We've got a few more minutes here, so is there anybody else that would like to call in tonight? Anybody else? Kind of like going once, twice, three times. Call 917-388-4683, 917-388-4683. Okay. Well, maybe that's all God wants to say tonight. And I'd like to just go on and, oops, here's somebody. one more. Trying to push this button here. There we go. Okay, area code 727. Welcome to the program.
Hello.
Hello.
I just tuned in.
Wait, need to turn the sound down.
I intended to listen earlier.
Need to turn the sound down on your computer so there won't be an echo. And what's your name and city, please?
I'm Kate, and I'm in St. Petersburg, Florida.
I cannot hear you. What's your name?
How about now?
Much better, much better. And what was your name?
Kate.
Kate, welcome to the program.
Thank you so much.
Did you have something you wanted to share with us?
Well, when you said that you were awaiting callers and you were about to wrap up, and I know that this program is specifically about praying and speaking in tongues.
Well, the teaching was, yes. Uh-huh.
And is there a specific prophecy offered or praying in tongues?
Well, are you saying that you'd like prayer for praying in tongues or that you'd like prophetic ministry?
If there's time, I would absolutely receive both.
Okay. Well, Father, we know that you don't offer a fish and give a stone. And you said we have not because we ask not or we ask amiss. And so tonight we know that it is your will for your spirit to operate through us. Now, Kate, may I ask you if you've invited Christ into your life?
I have.
Okay. Do you have the Holy Spirit?
I do.
Okay. So, Father, we thank you that your Holy Spirit has every gift that there is and that he lives in Kate. And we thank you that Kate's just coming tonight to surrender to you, to say that you can operate in this way through me. And, Kate, I just encourage you just to surrender your tongue to the Lord and to give him permission to speak through you in any way, any language, any time he wants. I'm sorry. I'm just so dry tonight.
No worries.
Thank you, Lord. And I just keep seeing this picture, Kate, from the Lord. And it just shows a straight furrow being plowed. And the Lord says that I want to speak through you and to you straight. That you're a straight shooter. That the Lord says, I have many, many, many seeds that I want to sow in you and through you. And I am the husbandman of the crops. And as you allow me to sow seeds in you, and as you're willing to sow those seeds into others, as you allow me to speak through your tongue and love through your arms and serve through your hands, the Lord says, I'm sowing a great, great crop. And I will water it, and I will multiply it. And the Lord says, it will be my responsibility, and yet I'm giving you opportunities. I'm opening doors so that you can sow seeds in new ways, in new places, far beyond what you imagine now. And as you allow my spirit to work in new ways, I'm going to be training you, and hooking you up with other people that will stretch you, because the Lord says that it honors me when you're willing to let me teach you to trust me, and that I can do a new thing through you. Things that you haven't allowed me to do through you before, or that I haven't asked to do through you before, but the Lord says I want to do some new things through you, and I'll give you the courage and the faith to go with it. You can just say, Lord, you promised that you would give me the courage and faith, because the Lord says, I'm opening up new doors, and I'm bringing about this third great awakening. But what I need is that people that are willing to lift up my name in new ways, willing to sow seeds in new ways, are willing to work with the unlikely, are willing to believe in the people that don't seem to have much potential, but you'll be able to see a Paul where others can only see a Saul, you know, where they can only see rebellion. You can see a person that will be totally submitted to me. Where they can only see doubt and fear, you'll see a person that can have great faith and do greater works. And the Lord says, right now that's you, and I'm just speaking forth a greater faith, greater works in your life, and what I need tonight is just for you to say, Lord, you can do new things through me. It doesn't have to be something I've done before, I've said before, that I just want to make you Lord of my life, and that instead of always being the one that follows, you know, what's the norm, that I'll allow you to do new things and say new things through me. Just increase my trust. Increase my confidence in you. Increase my ability. And the Lord says, I'm even reaching back in time where people betrayed your trust and tried to destroy your identity, if not directly, indirectly. And it in some ways it hurt your confidence, not only in yourself, but in me. And you were tempted to wonder, you know, where was I? But the Lord says, I'm making those weak places strong as you allow me, as you forgive, as you release those hurts to me. I'll take the pain out of it. And the Lord says, give you the ability to minister, but not in the same ways that you've always seen it done. Give you new words to say, and minister in new ways. But what will matter is that it's my anointing that breaks the yoke. My anointing, my spirit. Amen?
Amen.
Can you relate to any of that?
Oh, entirely.
Oh, really?
Entirely.
How's that?
The way that God is pleased is through our faith. It is faith that pleases God.
Amen.
And our faith is the demonstration that we trust, that it is the Holy Spirit and not ourselves that does the work.
That's right.
And only by our faith and our trust do we allow ourselves to be the vessel and for the Lord to be our provider, our support, our guide,
yes,
and our Abba Father.
Yes, yes, yes. There are so many hungry and hurting people out there, and we just can't reach them all by doing the same things the same ways, you know, going down the same streets, copying other people. We've got to give the Holy Spirit freedom to speak through us, even when somebody doesn't look interested or when they look unlikely, because you just never know. But He knows. He knows. Amen.
Well, that is reflective of what you have done for the least of these, you have done unto me.
Amen.
So, everyone is born with the will to accept and receive the Divine Spirit.
We all have a God-shaped spot in us that only He can fill.
And so for us,
Spirit.
you, any one of us, to judge by an exterior or to look at another's walk,
mm-hmm.
I say constantly, there by the grace of God I am.
Amen. We just thank you, Jesus. We thank you for transforming us. We thank you that we don't have to search through all the spirit guides and demonic spirits and every other spirit in the world, but only your Holy Spirit. Only your Holy Spirit can transform us in your resurrection power. Only you, Lord, on a performance basis of works and a treadmill of code of ethics to try to live up to, that only you provide the forgiveness. Only you want to be one with us, to live through us from the inside out. We just thank you, Lord, that you want to speak through our mouths, love with our arms, serve with our hands. We just thank you. Thank you. Thank you for calling, Kate. That was great.
Thank you so much. Bless you.
Bless you. Bless you. I just want you all to just turn to Jesus tonight and say, thank you, Lord, that you not only want me to know you, you know, that you want to be known. You want to make yourself known through us, that you could do it without fooling around with people. But you want to be in relationship, intimate, interactive relationship. You know, a holy God wants to live and make his name known through us. It's just absolutely mind-boggling. We just thank you, Lord. I have time for one more if it's fast. If anybody else want to push that number one, receive ministry, give us a little testimony, a praise report, anything else. Just one more. Okay, well, we thank you, Jesus. We're going to go into worship. Let's just worship the Lord. I want to encourage you tonight, if you can find out more about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, if that's something you have questions about, if you go to our website at nowfaith.tv, there's no .com to it, it's nowfaith.tv. If you go there and click schools and click prophetic and click radio, that's schools, prophetic, radio, then at the bottom of the list, you'll see a program about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And, you know, that would be helpful for you to review. review that, if nothing else, to be prepared to share with others. And if you go to our main website at crosswalklife.com, that's all one word, crosswalklife.com, there's a search box, and you can search for any topic that God brings to mind. There's a couple hundred articles there. If you go to nowfaith.tv, there's a search box. And over 4 years of audios and videos and articles and prayers there. Also, here at Blog Talk Radio, the website for this program, we have programs not quite every week, but most weeks, going all the way back to 2009. I thank you all for your patience with me as I took a couple of months off, and I've been doing some really heavy studies, trying to finish my master's and work on a book that I'm writing. I just thank you, thank you, thank you for your prayers and support. Thank you, Lord. I'm going to see if I can catch this one caller real fast. Area code 469, welcome to the program.
That was me. I spoke, Kanisha. I spoke with you already, but okay. I had a prayer request that I didn't. I just found a tumor in my stomach, and they're going to be doing a surgery on next Thursday, so I just wanted prayer today.
Okay, well, Father, we just thank you again for Kanisha. We thank you that you are Jehovah Rapha, our healer. And I ask you, Lord, I ask you for clarity and certainty for her that she'll know, that she knows, that she knows. If you want to heal this supernaturally, if you want to do a creative miracle for any damage that may have been done, we thank you, Lord, that you are Jehovah Rapha, and you have provided healing in with our salvation, body, soul, and stripes, body, soul, and spirit. That you say by your stripes we are healed. You say that healing is our portion.
Yes.
And we thank you, Lord, that no matter how we feel about ourselves, that that is who you are. That is who you are. You're our healer.
Yes.
And I just put this tumor, and I said, you're cursed in the name of Jesus. The tumor is and that only cells that are in line with God's original creation, that glorify God, that are good and whole and well, can live in you, that any germ in your body dies on contact. And we speak healing, healing. In the name of Jesus, we command the spirit of infirmity to go.
Yes.
Go to high uninhabited places and never come back in the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you for adding that. I appreciate that. It's a lot of people that want to know how to pray for healing, and we have authority in Christ. We have authority, and we thank you, Lord. We just thank you, Lord, that you've already done to provide that. And some of us, you know, some things go quickly and some take longer. I've already been healed of 24 things, and I'm still believing for some others. So we just thank you, Lord, that you say we can pray for one another, and we ourselves are healed. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I just want to worship the Lord a few minutes before we leave. Okay, this is another selection from Pastor Robert Gay's album, The Best of Robert Gay. He was our worship leader in the 90s. I just love him and his church, High Praise, in near Panama City. And this is another selection of his.